to use an old school term that you used to, you know, see this in your high school, like, you know, courses, physical education, right? Except the physical education is less about like, oh, learn how to play these sports and then do this president's fitness tests, you know, type of thing. It's less about the competition of it, and not to take away from what competition breeds and helps you realize and anything like that. But for the other populace of people, right, that don't naturally resonate to that and maybe work deep into those offices and late night hours and that whole thing, it's an education and a discovery, right, through the physical body.
Are you in the process of creating something huge and you want to understand how others have done it? Or have you already found success and still feel something is missing? Then this podcast is for you. Welcome to the Alchemist Lounge, a podcast where Alex Atwood chats with top performers to discover habits, routines, and alchemy that you can put to work in your own life.
Today, I'm talking to Mr. Luigi Pisani. So Luigi's the founder of Feel, which is spelled F-E:AL, and we'll find out more why that is. And what Feel is doing is bringing people into a deeper relationship with their bodies. In this episode, you'll hear Luigi tell me about his journey from an overweight kid to a fitness guru. You know that'll be interesting, and I know that you'll enjoy it. So here's the episode. And we're going to dive right in. Welcome to the show, Luigi.
Thank you, Alex. What's up, man? How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing fabulous. And I'm doing even better to have you on my show. So I'm gonna give some background in terms of sort of how we met and why I feel like the insight you could share with the Alchemist Lounge audience is extremely valuable. So we met at something called, what was it? Love Burn, which is an offshoot of Burning Man. And as we were there, immediately I started to see that there's something different about you somatically, like in the way that you kind of stretch and you kind of have this, you seem to be able to feel into your body in a way that I haven't seen others. And so when I learned more about you, I learned that that's what you've established your career on in terms of like somatic body development, biohacking, and all of that.
Right.
And the first thing I think I'd like to ask before we get into sort of everything, it seems like you've learned a way to access flow state, like on demand. And is that true? Is that something that you can actually teach people how to access that flow state?
I certainly feel like we are all capable in every respect. I also certainly feel that the aspect about flow state that, you know, is brought to light more so, like when it comes to athletes, we always say like, oh, they're the first ones to get into it. The ones that I'm familiar with, there's always the participation, the necessity of the physical body to be involved in it. Mm-hmm. So if you consider that, right, without me having to take a free throw in front of 100,000 people, you know, at that one moment, there certainly can be just various moments throughout the day where I can, again, use that physical body, right? Maybe even close my eyes a little bit because, interestingly enough, it helps you hone in to all the other senses. Just like with a person that's deaf, you know, just like with a person that's blind, just like with a person that is mute, right? Ask most people to sign language and they've never really used their left hand before. They're going to have a hard time having to, right, manipulate in a certain way. So to how we met, you just noticed that I was just keeping my body like this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like the water.
Very fluid. In case you guys are hearing this, he held up a glass, like a jar of water with some kind of leaves or something in it. What is that?
It's got some rocks in it, apparently. Yeah. You know, my wife and partner, Jocelyn, I mean, obviously, you know, we got to, you know, meet through her. Right. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. She's just the one that hooked me up with it right now. So
yeah.
Appropriate.
So, yeah. So Luigi, you are a very interesting, fascinating person. The way you approach life, the way you approach your body, the way you approach things is very unique into itself, right? So I want to learn, you know, first I want to learn like a lot about you and your background and all of that. Do you,
right.
But you consider yourself a physical hacker, right? That's something you write What's the difference between a biohacker and a physical hacker?
I have no idea. I would tell you, I mean, the physical body, like, you know, when you study biology, that's one of the examples that you get to study, you know, when you look at like biology, right? When you look at plant life, same thing. It just, I guess maybe I just approach it from a different stance. Like for me, it has to be very literal. So when you say physical body, like I literally mean, okay, so what does the physical body do? You know, and so we know that like it can walk. And we know that it can jump and we know that it can do all sorts of things. It can wash dishes, right? When you look at aspects of meditation, I think you can use meditation for biohacking as well, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? So if you look at those things, simply again, what can you do, right, with it? So I know that if I'm a person that's very versed with my body, so like I had an athletic background, like I used to play like four different sports. That wasn't my case, but I'm just saying, like, just as an example, then like a dancer as well, they're just very familiar with the expressions of everything that it does, right? But some people don't get to experience that. Some people have no idea what it's like to like literally reach for the stars. You know, like the last time they just like opened up and raised their arms, you know, extended it as far as possible. Like that doesn't really happen. You have to go to some of these seminars and be like, okay, celebrate a win. And everybody celebrates right here. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, like it's very short, you know? Yeah. So all I've been able to do, all God has presented me with as far as like opportunities in life is put these subtle pieces together, you know, and then realize, oh shit, there's a whole other world, right? That can be explored, right? If you open yourself up to this perspective of, if my body is a reflection of the constant actions that it does repeatedly, then what kind of image am I giving off to the world?
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I think the way I'm internalizing that is that the like sometimes you're just not aware of your body. I think what happens is, I mean, specifically for me, right? If I have a pain in my shoulder, which I actually have a pain in my shoulder right now, and if I am working at my desk, for example, right? I don't know whether it's my mind or my body, something inside me will begin to sort of ignore that pain in my shoulder, right? So it'll kind of mask it, right? And what'll happen is if I don't pay attention to it, if I don't stretch it, if I don't find out what's happening with that shoulder, like in other words, if I don't put awareness around that shoulder, it's absolutely gonna, you know, probably gonna get worse, right? Because you can only mask things for so long. And I think if you can take that scenario and you can extrapolate it across so many different types of, whether it's ailments or whether it's just not being aware of what your body's doing, you kind of get into a mode where you just feel as though, well, that's just the way I stand, right? That's just kind of the way, like, if like I just stand with my, and I'm used to doing that. And suddenly that becomes a part of you, right? It's, I think the most like salient example of that is people that have like sort of a hunch, right? And especially sometimes taller people, they start to kind of not unknowingly hunch forward. And last week, I just had a conversation with a physical therapist who said that after a certain time, your body is now, you know, your back is curved and there isn't really too many ways that a physical therapist can necessarily reverse that over a period of time, but what they can do is they can treat it, right? So they can start to make, you know, kind of, so things catalyze over time. And I think what I learned from you in being around you and taking part of some of the exercises and things that we did was just paying attention, like really paying attention to your body as the sophisticated machinery technology that it is, right?
And 1,000%.
And technology can be reprogrammed. But after a while, if you don't do that, right, it's going to eventually not work as well, right? And you're going to need to go in there and clean it up. So does that sound good?
Do you mind if I jump on that real quick?
Yeah, please jump.
Yeah, because check this out. So this is the part that I feel like if you were born in our generation, basically anyone that came in through the rise of computers, right, we have a very good recollection, right, of how a startup, right? Like not a company, but like a startup disk, like a modem, you know, like, right. Like the AOL time, right. All those things, how that form of connection was how we used to access something like the internet, mm-hmm. where you had to be a little patient and then you had to get your ears used to the and all that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, the facts sound.
The facts are right. You look at like the first, you know, version of a computer screen, you know, totally black and green letters passing by or whatever it is, right? The first Mac. So clear picture of that. Now look at the way that our machinery is, how it advanced, right? And it didn't advance just out of like casualidad, right? Which would be like just a happenstance, right? Type of thing. But it happened because there was dedicated, you know, people, there was dedicated attention to this one format of technology. Look at how small we can store an infinite almost amount of space, like a terabyte, and like, you know, just a thing like this big now, right? USB keys, so on and so forth. So people can hopefully relate that, right? That growth and that evolution to, again, their own body. Because right now, if I tell someone, for example, that's in their 60s to stand up off their chair as quickly as possible, which used to be, or still is, if I'm not mistaken, a power output kind of test, like an exercise phys. Like they sort of like look at that to see like, okay, you know, and we know that, I'm sure the physical therapist would have seen this firsthand, that people with age tend to lose the bone density and the muscle mass and the power output and force production and the tolerance to pain, you know, which is like, yeah, after a while, if you're just ignoring the things, right, at some point, you're going to have to deal with it. And that's what it sort of comes back to, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to at least like, you know, my practice, what I was able to introduce you to, you know, what we're here to like, you know, so help merge, right, within all these different modalities and styles and just actions, biohacking, this, that you can take, right? These are things you can do. Notice the evolution. Notice that the attention is required. Notice that without going into it, you will know what it's like. Mm. Without going into your shoulder, you won't know what it's limited in doing. You'll just randomly go do this quick action and then, it was too late.
Yeah. Well, what I noticed about my shoulder, most of all, since we're talking about that, is if I was in the middle of a physical activity for whatever reason, my shoulder wouldn't be in pain. Even if I'm pushing something up, but even as I'm doing it now, there's a little bit of pain there. So I think what I've realized in my particular circumstance, which is what I was referring to earlier, is that your body tends to just mask things so it can keep going. Like, you know what I mean? And unless you take your mind and you really put like real awareness and start noticing your body, which sounds like something you might do on a daily basis, but it's really not. I mean, if you really just close your eyes and you just take your mind and you start to notice every single, you know, your arm and your head and your chest, and you'll start to see where things are maybe a little, you know, off, right? And that in itself is something that most people don't do that often. And if they just did that for a moment, I think they would find that there's a lot to be worked on there. And that's the main thing I noticed right away with you. You are like, just your presence is, hey, I am like, you'll start moving and contorting yourself in the middle of a conversation. And it's actually sort of inspiring because I'm like, wow, you know, I want to be able to stretch like that. I want to be able to move like that, you know, getting into my 40s, I'm finding it slowly starting to get a little bit harder. So, but let's jump into you, because I want to learn more about you. I want to learn how this, like this career of a very unique career in helping people with their bodies and starting to learn how to stretch and contort and all this, these really unique ways, where that come from. So tell me where you grew up.
All right. So I'm a first generation Peruvian Miami kid, you know, someone that grew up just after the, I would say like the cocaine cowboy area or era of Miami, you know, like good amount of years after it, like going into the 90s now, and really didn't know of different areas of Miami, like a Coral Gables or a Coconut Grove, until I was like a teenager, just because we stuck to like just one side, you know, like of Miami. We, you know, were like heavy, you know, heavy kids, but active. Mm. Right. So never really knew what a flat stomach was until I was like, I guess like going into college, maybe. And then of course college hits and then weight gain happens again. And then it's this whole, you know, cycle of, oh man, yeah, I remember now, I was like this fat little kid, you know, that tried to play, you know, different sports, but wasn't particularly awesome at any which one of them. But hey, man, you know, if you want to ball, like, we know we'll ball. Like, we can ball. Like, I'll take you to the hole, but we can ball, right?
Yeah.
And I have to, you know, thank my brother for being like that first inspiration for me of not falling for that sort of mentality of like, well, I guess this is just where I'm at with my body. It's not really going to change type of thing. So he was the first one to go for a run around the neighborhood type of thing. You know, the first one told my mom, hey, can you just like serve me a little bit less? You know, and of course my parents, you know, coming from the background that they had, like first getting to Miami in their 30s, having to, you know, work multiple jobs and, you know, do the thing where they're providing any way that they can. Of course, there's no organic food movement, you know, back in like that time. Mm-hmm. So all the food was everything that you would consider an American diet for the most part, right? So pizza on Fridays, some other kind of very greasy, you know, food on Saturday, ice cream throughout the week if you wanted, cereal, you know, just because it's convenient, so on and so forth. So very versed on all the things that we shouldn't be doing for our health. And with what my, you know, my parents could make, because they didn't make all of the traditional Peruvian food either. We left that for the restaurants, you know, we left like we can go like eat there. So yeah, but that was that life. That was that life growing up.
Yeah. That was my first generation experience as well. You know, I totally get that, you know, especially when you have working parents, they don't have time to make the traditional, you know, meals. And honestly, they didn't back then, they didn't sell organic, a lot of organic foods in the stores, and they didn't necessarily have the time, meaning your parents, to prepare foods because they had to put, you know, money on the table. So I totally get that. So you grew up not necessarily the most fit kid. You were athletic, but not fit. And it sounds like when you got into college, you started to get the freshman 15 or freshman 50 or whatever that looks like. You know what I mean? What are some of the memories from back then that made you really feel alive? I'm sure there's something back then physically that must have like, there must have been something in your youth or in college where you're like, you started to plant a seed around this. So I want to hear a little bit about that.
So this is interesting because, you know, knowing that what we've both been able to explore and experience with plant medicine, this is something that was a piece of the puzzle that was put together much later on in life. But I always felt very different in water, like in a pool. You know, I would be very embarrassed to, you know, take my shirt off, but was still at that age where it was like, it's still kind of okay. Cause like, if you're under 10 and you're really, you know, hefty, right? Like it's still kind of, it's okay. You know, like, oh, you have a growth spurt type of thing. But when I was in water, when I was trying to float, when I was pretending to be Van Damme, you know, jumping into the pool, right? A pool, by the way, that didn't even belong to like us. Like we were going to my uncle's old community building, pretending like we lived in one of the buildings just to go access the pool on weekends because driving to the beach was too far. Hmm. You know,
from Miami.
So from Miami, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like this is just a time in life, you know, where the 836, you know, isn't what it is like today type of thing. But also, and gas was obviously much cheaper, but just the quality of cars that we had, it was like going to the beach was a good 45 plus minutes away. And in Miami, man, like if you know this, like if it's more than a half hour, you don't really drive to it. Like, you know, it's if you got a buddy, you got a friend that like lives over like an hour away, like that's like a once a month, maybe kind of like a,
they might, you know, as well trip. Be in California.
Yeah. Exactly. But so being in water was like, it was just a new reminder for me because now I step into, you know, the beach, the ocean, a pool, whatever. And man, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm flying and floating, you know, all at once type of thing. But as a kid, definitely the most fondest memories was, so something I mentioned, by the way, every summer growing up, my parents would send my brother and I back to Peru to stay with the grandparents and the cousins. Mm-hmm. So we would spend our entire summer and my birthdays, right? Our birthdays are August 11th. So it's like just before school's going to start the whole thing. And we would play football, right? Mm-hmm. Soccer. We play football. We play basketball. You know, we would go to this, essentially it was like the country club of my mom's small town, but it's the second largest city in Peru, Arequipa. And my uncles would take us there to just play, you know, it was constant, like, you know, yes, they Super Nintendo's a thing. And yes, we would go to some places just to play video games, but it was also just the activity. Like, this is supposed to be the time where they're going to, you know, sort of lose some weight or, you know, whatever. But there was nothing like laying out in the field, like after having played for 3+ hours, you know, that like endless energy that you have as a kid where you can just go from one sport to the other, to the other, to the other. And no one cares how good it looks. No one's trying to go viral with a move. You know, all you're trying to do is just like be out there with your cousins or whatever and just have the fun and leave it at that. And that's what I felt like later on in life. I reflect upon these things. And then when I meet, you know, certain people and I'm curious where their body's at, and I'm curious the pain that they might be, you know, going through. And I'm curious, well, so what kind of things do you get into? I've realized that some of them, not all, but some of them were sort of neglected in a way, that level of an experience, right, for their bodies as a kid. And now you have practices where they're like, yeah, you know, forgetting the name right now, but there's like this thing that that teaches you about like why for babies, right, toddlers, so important to get them to learn how to crawl. Like, don't rush them trying to stand them up, you know, on their feet and get them to walk. Like, let them, you know, let them crawl for a bit, let them explore that. You know, there's the whole thing about being barefoot and putting shoes on and the way that shoes sort of contort our feet, you know, and how like, hey, maybe like give yourself some space to also be barefoot, you know, all these different things that they just go back to it, just addressing this, you know?
Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, there is an impact to going barefoot. I mean, there really is. And that's
there is.
I mean, there's a different relationship. If you go outside and you walk in the grass and you just take your shoes off and you just take your time to do that, you just get, there's a certain connectedness that is almost not really describable, but it definitely connects you in. By the time you got into college, did you know what you were going to do? Did you know you wanted to do physical work? Did you know that was sort of where you wanted to put your career? Was that something in college that you sort of discovered?
No, I had to go through some quote unquote work experience type of thing for me to realize that. But I was always very rational with myself when it came to my academics, man. Like, I was not about to go into engineering because mathematics is just, you know, not really like that thing. I knew that it wasn't going to be anything even in the business world per se, because same thing, like I honestly, like I've always had more of a drive to, you know, help somebody up versus quickly get around them, just because I'm trying to be like ambitious and get to my place or, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that sort of hard-nosed business school, you know, type of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And accounting sucked. I took accounting, that's so I'll say, okay.
You cross some things off the list and you're like, okay, I'm not doing that.
Easily. And I'm sure somebody listening to this might be like, well, it's not about finding what you don't want, it's finding what you do want, that whole thing. But you know what? It's like, I'm 17, 18 year old kid. Like, what do you want me to do? You know?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Hey, you're going to get there some way, whether it's by crossing out what you want or whether, yeah, I get it.
And for coming from like the, you know, the family history that we have, you know, my parents, like for them, it's like, look, even just doing the college thing, you know, and being able to just do that much better than we did, you know, type of thing, that would already been like tremendous success. So I guess I left it, you know, to me putting together this, something that my dad had mentioned to me. It was like, find something that will pay you well, but something that you might also enjoy doing type of thing, or that you might be very good at, you know, the same mentality of like, even if you're a shoemaker, mm-hmm. be the best one, you know, that there is. You know, in that whole like space. So thanks to him, actually, he had done some PT, I guess, through a physical injury, right? He had done some PT, he befriended the head therapist there, and I got to intern. And that intern turned into a job. And that job turned into over a year plus of, you know, coming in and watching the cycle of the industry of physical therapy. And noticing how The best intentions at heart, you know, for, let's say, most therapists, you know, might be there, because like everything, you're always going to have some people are just interested in the, you know, the paper. But the intentions of like, yeah, you know, we want to get this person, you know, back to 90% or better than they had prior to.
So you found people getting injured, right? Doing everyday things. And you started to see that these people weren't prepared to be able to just take on everyday tasks because they hadn't been mindful of their bodies for so long, or they just, right. you know, the sedentary life of right. the Western office, yeah. you know, worker, right, is right, harmful. Right. And it right. doesn't, it, there's nothing in necessarily, aside from physical exercise, right, which right. people do more and more. A lot of the times physical exercise is mainly for aesthetics, right? You may, you know, hey, I want to make sure 100%. I have that beach body, right? So your focus mm-hmm, is going to mm-hmm. be in some sort of diet, making that stomach look better, right? But that, mm-hmm. or making that, you know, whatever, look better. But it doesn't really deal with actually getting you in tune with your body, right? And so mm-hmm. you started to see all that. So once you had that referral from your dad, and that was at your school, is that where you had, is that where he did that, or that was outside of school?
No, it was outside of school. Got I it. Just happened to do it while I was a freshman. And it led me to then switch my major, because you don't major in physical therapy. It's a pre-track that knocks out all these, you know, qualifiers, whatever. And then you go into the specialized, you know, three-year doctoral program, you know, type of thing. Well, it was master's back then. They didn't have a PhD program back in those years. And then what was interesting, obviously, is that when I got into exercise physiology, that whole major, all they do is preach about metabolic disease. Mm. You know, some of these corporates that go hand in hand with people that aren't very active. They're not very active because they don't feed themselves very well. And they've already accrued a dissatisfaction with their body. And that's what they're used to. So there's a sort of numbing, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what that food kind of does to you, right? Like you just, like sugar addiction is a you know, real thing. And so they get to a point where it's like, well, why am I going to be curious or look to do anything with my body? Like I just know that I don't want to be hot like that person. Like that person, like they work too hard. They do too much. You know, they go to the gym too much, you know, whatever it is. But what we didn't like realize or notice is that you don't necessarily have to be a certain body fat percentage to still know how to do things with your body. I've seen guys that are three times my size do crazy backflips. You know, I saw a guy that so looked like, by the way, this is for you. This is for the B-boy in you. I just saw a video of a homie that looked like he must've been pushing 300 and change.
Yeah.
And he does like lands like behind him, lands on his head, holds it, and then comes down.
Look, back in the, I'll tell you, so a long time ago there was a show called What's Happening, and there was a character called Rerun. This is like back in the day in the 70s. I used to watch it on Nick at Night, and this guy was overweight, but he would dance and he would spin and he would do the splits. And so you're absolutely right. I mean, I've seen that before. So I want to jump into feel. I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to understand, well, first of all, what does feel stand for? By the way, for those listening, it's spelled FE:AL, and it's pronounced feel. Sure. So what does feel stand for?
So feel has two separate kind of like wordplays, right? It's like feeling into healing, mm-hmm. right? So you use the spelling of healing, right? The beginning of feeling. And then the sort of acronym that had come to me before actually writing it that way, right? And putting colons, that whole thing was feeling everything, actively living. So in order to feel everything, you need to be active about it. So now your lifestyle, your way of living is an active, you know, all-embracing form of living. You accept that there is no stagnation involved within this whole human experience. Everything has its motions. Everything constantly continues its own flow, right? Mm-hmm. And you have your own rhythm. You have your own capacity to figure out what that is. And you've done it before. You just didn't call it that. You just didn't realize that it could be that. Just like some people don't realize that a road trip can be a meditation or meditative type of thing.
Ah, so you're identifying what the healing is in the everyday activity. So what's missing right now in physical therapy that you think feel will be able to provide?
Well, for one, and this was part of the thing that I again had learned, right, from being in that space, was like there's just a overall lack of, I'm going to say, education, right? Just to use the word of that which you learn, right, type of thing. But to use an old school term that you used to, you know, see this in your high school, like, you know, courses, physical education, right? Except the physical education is less about like, oh, learn how to play these sports and then do this president's fitness tests, you know, type of thing. It's less about the competition of it, and not to take away from what competition breeds and helps you realize and anything like that. But for the other populace of people, right, that don't naturally resonate to that and maybe work deep into those offices and late night hours and that whole thing, it's an education and a discovery, right, through the physical body. So a PT practice right now, if they wanted to, you know, they could have their patients watch our videos, which one of the things I was able to do was I picked five very basic home pieces of furniture. And I give you a walkthrough. This is one of the pillars of feel, but I give a walkthrough from head to toe, both all full body if you wanted to, and then in pieces. So like hands and wrists, neck and shoulders, you know, just in couples of the, I call it like the grammar school, right? Of your movement, right? Of the basic motions. You know, it's like when you watch a dancer, the reason why they look so fluid and effortless is because they speak that language, you know? It's like they talk that shit. They know how to just like, that's just an expression, right? And Bruce Lee, one of my mans philosophically was bringing this to people, but it was an understanding of, okay, the sort of martial arts capacity, right? Which, I mean, anybody growing up in the 70s, I guess, and into the 80s, if you didn't try to do like, what the hell? You know, I do like a kick and they're like, don't tell me like that you weren't inspired. Don't tell me that, you know, you didn't have a moment where you saw a person do something, you know, so instinctual, so quick, so active. And you just weren't like, I want to do that too.
Yeah. So for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting it. Look, it occurs to me that feel is filling a gap right now, where right now it's very reactive in terms of how people treat injuries and how really they, the lack of awareness they have around their body on an everyday basis, because frankly, people tend to fill their mind. And I'm speaking for myself. I fill my mind up with so many things that I may be concentrating on every day, or, you know, people or something like that, that I just don't notice until there's pain there. And then sometimes you still kind of put that aside. You don't even pay attention to the pain. Hey, it'll go away. And that is probably the most unhealthy thing that you can do with your body. So in feel, you're actually, and by the way, I love feel everything. I love that. I love that. And
feeling everything,
active
bro,
life, active living. I love that.
Actively living. Yeah.
Yeah. Actively for living. Sure. I love that because once you start to notice your body a little bit more, then your body will tell you what it needs. And so you're helping to translate and communicate that from your body to, you know, just kind of connecting and aligning everything. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
Tell me,
thank you.
And yeah, of course. And so this is the Alchemist Lounge. There's a lot of alchemy, right, in what you're doing.
Right.
You've kind of described it. Has there been any magical moments that you've experienced, call it alchemy, call it magic, call it like, as you've kind of created feel, has there been things that have shown up that have kind of got, you know, pointed you that, hey, the direction I'm going in is the right direction? Anything like that that you want to share?
Yeah. Wow. Man, that talk about profound in the line of question there. I like that. That's a big one. You know, I already told you, I gave you like a brief, like sort of landscape preview of what coming up childhood into adulthood, like body wise, you know, was for me. I've always loved music. I never considered myself a dancer, you know, like I can't pop and do that whole
and lock,
excuse me, robot thing. Yeah. Like that. You know, my dad tried taking us to learn gymnastics, you know, once upon a time. I must have been like six at the time, maybe five, but it was too expensive, right? But that to me is one of the epitomes of like strength, like human strength, you know, you can get at the way that they balance on rings and beams and just flip and do that all that stuff. And thanks to a movie, a throwback, Only the Strong, starring Mark Dacascos, another one of like my guys from Capoeira, right? like that Afro-Brazilian style of martial art, of dance, of fighting, you know, and bringing those two together, like almost like the best of both worlds type of thing. Maybe wouldn't suggest it in a street fight. I've never had to use it, you know, type of thing, but I don't know if I would go straight into a Jenga, you know, in the middle of right. But maybe fun for a party. And so there is nothing like having these moments, right, where I'm so tuned in that it almost becomes like this art piece, because my body is going a certain way. It's flowing in a certain direction, and I'm not trying to mimic anyone. And that was a very big lesson that I learned in my 20s, because at that time, stepping into after my undergrad, going into grad school in that transition, there was a guy that I'd heard of named Ido Portal. And he was a dude coming out of Israel that was very much into capoeira, taught it at one point. And he was like, you know, just one of the first people that after like functional fitness, basically, then he started coming out with like, oh, it's movement. It's not functional fitness, it's movement. You know, or not functional training. It's like, don't just do the Olympic lifting because you will live and die by the bar type of thing. Like, go ahead and participate in rings, hang for, you know, some more time. Although there's a cutout of Sylvester Stallone talking about a hanging test he and Dolph Lundgren used to do getting ready for Rocky IV. And that's like 1980, 80 something, right? Like 85, 86, something like that. 87 maybe. Mm-hmm. But that was me watching a person just like kids would watch Bruce Lee. But then that was me mimicking the way that this guy crawled on the ground or tried to, or did his handstands. You know, that's when I started again searching. Cause again, my dad's telling me like, hey, if you're going to be this thing, be the best of it. Right. So I can't just extend myself or expose myself to one discipline, you know, and not that I have like 20 different martial arts under my belt at all. But as far as the things that you would find in what you can do for your body, boxing, swimming, sports, the cable machines, the barbell, all those things, I started using that stuff. And then I started using furniture. So even this, you can't see it, but it's sort of like a futon that I'm on right now. And I haven't even like, you know, really been doing my thing because I'm like very into everything that we're getting into. But when I'm flowing in that sense, man, it's very individual artistic expression, right? Without me even having to classify myself as just like that. I'm still just me. And I'm obviously not the strongest person. And I'm obviously not the, you know, most fit person. But here's the interesting thing about fitness that we don't talk about. Fitness has nothing to do with this cardiovascular state or this level of aesthetic appeal that you have. Fitness is, again, this is an admit to me, the perspective and acceptance of how fit you feel within your own body. Hmm. Like how you, right, as this person that's just beyond just this, because this will wither away at some point. But that essence of you, of Alex Atwood, that personality and like spirit that comes out when you enter a room, the way that you just, you know, light it up, that business, all those things, how that fits and encompasses in now this physical structure.
Mm, got it. So it's like how you show up in your body and your comfort level with your body and your acceptance and your choice of your body. And so there's so much in that. Wow, that's interesting. And
there's so much, man.
And I'm really glad you brought up the way that you use furniture. Anything that's around you, you start to use as a way to stretch and dig into your body. I think that's something very, very unique. And if you've never seen a video that Luigi's put on, or if you've never seen kind of what he does, it's very unique in how people sort of interact with each other. It's based around the body, but it's also based around people connecting with each other, using their bodies, mm-hmm. connecting with themselves within their bodies. I remember you and I took all down to our skivvies, went into the ocean, and you started to show me how to move around. And it's a game changer once you feel it. Just a play. I mean, life is short, yeah, and why not have a higher quality of life by being in tune with your body? I mean, it makes tons of sense, and it's not happening as often, or it's not that there isn't as much promotion around the non-aesthetic importance of physical right. fitness. You know what I mean?
And so, like you said, mm-hmm. it's just a connection. It's just a bridge. You know, you said yeah. filling the gap, right? And that's yep. and that's the aspect of you is, yeah, for people, there is just a gap. There's an internal gap. That internal capacity of themselves hasn't been explored. You know, I don't know if, you know, your average listener right now, if they had to catch themselves from a fall, right? If they can actually hold their face up, like not allow their head to just come like straight down into the ground.
Right.
So imagine if like, and I think who did it? Christian Bale in one of the Batman movies, right? Does it, gets immediately off out of bed, goes up into his tippy toes and then falls face forward and starts knocking out, you know, as many pushups as he can, right? And that's like, that can be seen as like a dangerous thing. So most people know the answer, right? Because mm-hmm. they don't feel like they have that strength, you know, because strength is a feeling, man, you know? And oh, that's something that,
I got that can't just, for me.
Yeah.
That clicked for me. Okay, cool. As a matter of fact, that really cool. clicked. So there's some people that inherently know that they can just drop right down onto their face and start doing push-ups, right? And there's and that knowing is being in tune with your body to be able to pull off that particular exercise or that particular drop or whatever that is. I get it. Yeah. I totally get it.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, Luigi, this was a fascinating conversation.
If so anybody's, happy. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody's interested, which I'm sure a lot of people are, in Feel, that's spelled FEAL, you can click, yeah. if you're watching this in YouTube, you can click on the bio. There's a link to the website there. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Luigi, if they want to bring this to their company, they want to just kind of find, you know, more information, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. Just find me on LinkedIn, because that's what every company should have, you know, Luigi Sani. Wellness, I think, is what it comes to when you go to the profile. And then as far as the website, yeah, you have to put www.feeltheory.com, by the way. So sorry if that's an inconvenience.
But no, let me say that again. So it's feeltheory.com. So it's FEALTHEORY.com, right?
Yeah.
Feeltheory.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Everybody yeah. check that out. Luigi is a fascinating, fascinating person. If you ever see a guy who is a handsome Latino man who's contorting himself in all these different ways. You happen to be in Miami, walking along the beach, and you see a guy under a tree with a dog. That could be Luigi, and he could be able to give you some excellent advice on, and more than that, he can actually maybe give you an exercise or two on how to get back in touch with what really matters, which is your body and which is your surroundings in life. So thank you, Luigi.
We'll just play.
That's right.
Thank
or just
you,
play. Bro. It's
Thank
all
you, Alex. Just play.
That's exactly right. All of this is a game that we get to have fun while we play it. So I love it. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, bro.
This is an excellent conversation.
Thank you, man. And I
hope to see Feel just become something that really is a catalyst for the way people view their bodies and how they interact with their bodies. And more people like yeah. you that are putting this word out is just so impactful to the community at large. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
Thanks for listening in to the Alchemist Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review on Apple iTunes. To catch all the latest from Alex Atwood, you can check out his website at alexatwood.co. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time at the Alchemist Lounge.